You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
With that said, I want to welcome everybody to 1 Million Cups. We have a very special guest today here. We have Ben LeCount from Evergreen Consultants, and I'll let you take it away, Ben.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Yes, my name is Ben LeCount, and I'm one of the owners of Evergreen Consultants. We specialize in everything wetlands. We help our clients identify where wetlands are on their property, and if needed, we help them navigate through the process of permitting their projects if wetlands need to be impacted. Our clients range from engineering companies, municipalities, developers, any property owner that is looking to complete a project on their property that may or may not impact wetlands, but just to identify where they are. And if they need to stay away, stay away, or if they want to enhance, they can enhance. We also assist in creating plans to create wetlands or bring wetlands back that were once drained, either via drainage ditches or tile. We have two of the 35 assured wetland delineators in the state on our staff. And what that means is we can help projects get going a little bit quicker than anybody else, just because the DNR doesn't have to come out to our site and concur with our wetland boundaries. So a little bit of history about myself and how I guess I got to this spot. I was in the military from 1997 to 2000. I was a surveyor in the Army. I worked in the surveying field after I got out from 2000 to 2010. I did get my professional land surveyor's license, and I still maintain that to this day. I did own my own surveying company up in Surgeon Bay from 2006 to 2010. I was driving back and forth from Green Bay, so it got to be a little bit too much once we started having more children. So I got a job down here in Green Bay and started doing more wetland delineations. I did a few with my own company, my surveying company, but really picked it up in 2010 when I started at a new company here in Green Bay. So I've been conducting wetland delineation since 2006. My partner and I helped write the new wetland law that was passed in 2018 with the state of Wisconsin. Our company really is all about helping people, though. We do several pro bono jobs for nonprofits or people that just can't afford our services. So we'll do that, those at a reduced rate or sometimes just free. So if you do need assistance with wetlands or identifying where they are or different projects that you have that could potentially enhance your property, you can contact us at evergreenwis.com. That's evergreenwis.com is our website, and you can get more information about us there. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. Sorry about that. I had some muting issues. So we'll open it up now to questions. Thank you very much. You did an outstanding job. Most people don't keep it under the 5 to 10 minute limit. So
yeah, that's my motto. Keep it quick and to the point. That's why I figure if there's any questions about anything, they can shoot away.
Okay. So I guess I can kick it off with questions. And if anybody else has questions, feel free to chime in. Are you beautifying wetlands or restoring wetlands back to their original state?
The main purpose is when people contact us, they're typically looking to do a project on a property. They're either looking at buying it or they have the project already in mind. There's certain soils on the DNR website that will trigger a wetland delineation. They're called indicator soils. These are just soils that could potentially have wetlands in them. So we take a look at that and identify where they are, map them, give them the company or individual those wetland lines, and they either design their project around the wetlands, or if they absolutely can't avoid the wetland, the next step would be to minimize any impact to the wetland. And we help them through that process of submitting the permits to the Army Corps and the DNR to get them done. And on the flip side of that, we also, this could be a whole nother presentation itself, but it's called wetland mitigation banks. And what we do with those is we actually take, typically it's going to be farm fields that a farmer can get in most of the time, but sometimes, you know, a lot of years they're just too wet to get in and farm. But they've been drained either via drainage ditches or drain tile. And what we do is we put a project plan together for them and help them submit that to the Army Corps and the DNR. It's called a review team that actually looks at it. But it's a two-year process to get these finalized and signed. But then what you can do with these credits that you're approved to sell is when somebody does have to fill wetland for their project, they purchase credits from this bank to be able to fill it. The goal of it is no net loss wetlands in Wisconsin. So if you're filling an acre, you would purchase an acre credit from these wetland mitigation banks. So we're in the process of getting our first one approved. I believe there is only 12 in the state of Wisconsin. So we're in the process of getting our first one approved. We hope to have approval in August is the goal. The coronavirus thing kind of put a damper on that because people can't come out and do site visits and take a look at it. But we're still hoping and shooting for August for approval. And then we have two other sites that we're actively monitoring and have started putting the plans together. So they're in the initial stages of that two-year process to get approval. But yeah, that's so it's kind of both to your question. You know, we help create or enhance or restore wetlands. And then if there are projects that do need to fill wetlands, we help people through that process.
So now with these banks you were talking about, so is this basically like an owner that has way too much wetland per se can start selling off these little blocks so that somebody else can per se?
Yes. So what it away? Is, yeah, it's not currently wetland at, you know, the point that we get involved with it. It's typically going to be a farm field. So what we would do is restore that farm field to a wetland, whether it be a wooded wetland or, you know, a wet prairie or whatever it may be. But what we do is we look at what it was historically, look at original surveys. There's documents out there to show what was growing there prior to it being farmed. And we try and get it back to, you know, what it historically was. So it's an area that is currently not wetland that you're putting back to what it was.
And by putting it back to, they say, okay, well, now if you per se destroy a small part of wetland here, it's made up for by creating
correct
wetland.
And there are different watersheds throughout the state. So they try and keep it within a similar watershed. It's the big dividing line is probably the like through the middle of the state. What drains to Lake Michigan and then what drains to the Mississippi is kind of where they want to stop that division. But then there are also smaller watersheds within that, and they try or they want to keep it within the same watershed.
Interesting. Do we have any other questions floating around?
I have a question. So I have some land for like small farm property, and we've had things from I think the DNR, because this isn't like the town of Greenville. So there was some areas that are kind of wet on the property, but it was not determined to be wetland, mm-hmm. which is good for us. But we're looking potentially in the next few years to probably add like just a small pond like in the center of the property. It's just under a 4-acre parcel, so it's not huge. Does that, if adding ponds or anything like that ever, does that trigger like a new inquiry or any kind of I guess, change to the wetland as it was deemed prior?
So what you can do with those is it would be considered a wetland enhancement. So if it's infested with, say, you know, reed canary grass or Phragmites is a common one around here, or buckthorn, just some type of invasive species that, you know, really doesn't have a functional value as far as wetlands go. In that wetland, you can dig down to 4 feet. That would be considered a shallow marsh and still be considered a wetland. Conversely, in the upland, you could, you know, dig to China if you wanted, you know, 20-foot deep pond, but where it has been deemed wetland, you can only go down to the 4 feet because that would be considered enhancement. But yes, you can, you know, definitely dig a pond. It's just, you know, what can you do where is what it would come down to.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Do we have anybody on Facebook?
No questions.
Okay. Well, oh, is somebody turning on their microphone?
Yeah, hey there, it's Dave here. Thanks. Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. I'm just curious, Ben, maybe a little bit on the environmental impact side of wetlands, if you could comment on that, just kind of what it does for the area and what the reasoning is behind restoring them.
Oh, definitely. It's wetlands are, you know, our sponge. They you know, clean up the toxins that kind of go in. You see the stormwater ponds all over the place. That's kind of the same concept. We're creating these detention basins to filter out the toxins and, you know, different things that can get into the groundwater. And you know, wetlands are that natural sponge for these toxins or, you know, anything that could get down into our aquifers or groundwater. So they are very valuable in that sense. And then also, you know, for, you know, animals, lizards, birds, you know, a lot of them, they're called ephemeral wetlands. A lot of the frogs and amphibians, they use these to mate and breed in these, and then they dry up to nothing and they, you know, crawl off and, you know, go somewhere else, or, you know, different animals eat them. So they have, you know, numerous purposes, but it's just great for the environment to have these. And Wisconsin, I forget the exact number, but there is, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres of wetland, you know, from being farmed that, you know, were wetland that are now being farmed. So, you know, it's a, you know, balancing act. You know, these lower quality wetlands, not to me personally, my opinion, you know, it's not, you know, as huge of an impact when these are, I guess, filled, or, you know, if you're in an industrial park or a, you know, urban area, these wetlands really don't have much of a functional value. I know I've said that functional value many times. That's one of the forms that we fill out, is what is the functional value of this wetland? Is it high functional value? Do, you know, a lot of birds and animals or amphibians use this? Are they, you know, high quality wetlands, or is it a low quality wetland? And the low quality wetlands, you know, in the case where, you know, the industrial park and they have to expand a building, but they have to impact these wetlands, and it's infested with Phragmites or reed canary grass or buckthorn, or, you know, some of these plants that just kind of, they take over and become a monotype wetland, really are, you know, lower functional value. So to fill that and then, you know, create or restore this wetland, like I was talking about with the wetland mitigation bank, you know, it's going to have a lot higher functional value and a lot more usefulness, I guess, to the environment.
So would you say that along that lines, you would say that a lot of times when somebody is destroying a wetland, but then purchasing these banked wetlands, a lot of occasions are much more useful to the environment than, say, whatever they're destroying. So it could even be a net positive, much rather than just a canceling out type thing.
Correct. Yes. In my opinion, I would say, yeah, that in a lot of cases, that is, you know, sometimes there are high quality wetlands that do need to be impacted. They just can't be avoided. But, you know, I would say, if, you know, most of the time those are, you know, harder to get permitted, and the DNR and the Army Corps look at those, you know, a little bit harder than what they would look at if you're just impacting a, you know, say a farmed wetland or, you know, a monotype wetland that's infested with invasive species.
Interesting. So do we have any more questions? Otherwise, we can do the big final question. All right. The final question for 1 million cups is, what can the community do to help you?
I wasn't anticipating that. I guess just create awareness. You know, I think historically there has been a negative look at wetland. They're kind of considered, you know, just garbage, junk lands, and you know, drain it, you know, as fast as you can, and, you know, get it under, you know, crop production or, you know, whatever it may be, where, you know, now over the years we've learned that they do have an environmental value, and we should, you know, try and identify where those are, and if we can, you know, stay away from them. But if you, you know, really need to, you know, expand a business or do a development, you know, there are ways to get it done. But yeah, I think really just, you know, getting the awareness out that, you know, it is, you know, wetlands do serve a purpose in our environment, and they clean up the water, and, you know, plants, animals, birds, amphibians, you know, they all use these wetlands, and they do serve a purpose.
Great. So anybody stem up any other further questions? Otherwise we can end this session. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to 1 Million Cups. Thanks, Ben, for coming on and presenting. We appreciate it. And we do have a guest for next week, so stay tuned. Make sure to show up for next week. I can't off the top of my head remember who they are right now. Sorry. But there is somebody. You can go to the website within a few hours, and Ben should disappear from it, and our host next week should show up. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and have a great day.
All right. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker. And thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.